Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, our number four here on Mark and Hart. The
fourth and final hour on the sixth and not so final day of the week.
No.
John Dennis used to say that on Fridays. The fourth and final hour and the fifth and final day.
Oh, wow. Good old John Dennis. Someone said that he got Twitter suspended his account.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That he, I don't know why.
Went off the rails or something?
I don't know why, but maybe his account got, I hopefully for
he
him.
He was hacked. Go with that. Oh. That's what they always do.
Yeah.
Bad stuff happens online. I was hacked.
Right.
Just go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul Pierce did that one time online. But
I haven't used it yet, but I'll use it when I need.
Going back to 2010, 11, 12, and it was like, yeah.
It was a long hack.
The long hack.
Long
yeah.
hack. I've been hacked for years.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, just want to make that announcement. As you know, the 18th annual WEI Ness and Jimmy Fun Telethon will be held this Tuesday and Wednesday, the 20th and 21st. So we hope that everybody will participate in that for a great cause, which is actually the best thing I've ever been involved with. So, we hope everybody, the participation and donations will be up more than ever for a great cause. And that'll be taking place, like I said, this Tuesday and Wednesday, the 20th and the 21st. 617-779-7937. You want to chime in on the Josh Gordon situation? Feel free to do that. Let's go to Peter in Jamaica Plain. What's up, Peter?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good,
hey,
Peter.
I think, boy, I wish I could tell Michael something, but that's all right. There's basically two different kinds of alcoholics or people. I'm just going to say people that use alcohol, okay? There's some guys that go after work. You know, they have one beer, they get a, you know, they're addicted to the fun and blah, blah, blah. And before you know it, they have 10 and, you know, and they're driving home drunk and blah, blah, blah. And then those guys go to AA and they can quit. And I think they are some of the strongest people in the world. Okay. But there are other people that self-medicate. They have a chemical imbalance. It leads to anxiety and depression. You even have one on our station here who almost had to die before he got help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that is a disease, all right? And I had a relative, I regret saying this, but he went to rehab for alcoholism. He had depression and mental illness, and a week after he got out of rehab, he killed himself, okay? So it's two different things, and I think Josh Gordon He has such depression and anxiety that that's why he abuses the drugs. And they have safe drugs now. If he can go to a, you know, a good therapist and get the right drugs that will help reduce his anxiety and his depression. Hey, there's nothing worse than depression. Can you guys think of something where you want to kill yourself? I mean, there's no disease worse than that.
No, yeah, it's
so
pretty bad.
There's two different alcoholics. And the guys that go to AAA, like this Mike guy might have, and they can put down the bottle. They're some of the strongest people in the world. They go to two meetings a week, but they are not chemically dependent for the most part or depressed or have such anxiety that they can't live life. So that's all I wanted to say.
All right, Peter. Hey,
thanks, Peter. I mean, I don't know whether Peter's accurate or not, sort of in his categorization of these people. And I think that's part of the problem. I'm not sure you can clump them together in nice, big, convenient bunches. Oh, this guy's this type of alcoholic or this type of anxiety or this type of depression. And, you know, those Venn diagrams where they overlap. Well, there's alcohol, depression, this, that, you know, all of the stresses that are at play. I just don't think you can. It's too individualized. And we know Josh Gordon has tried a variety of things.
Yeah.
We also don't know exactly what his issues are, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, we hear blurbs, and we have him talking at various points. GQ is the most cited one.
Who knows?
He doesn't probably even know.
For those of you who didn't read the GQ article, he said, Josh Gordon, I'm talking about, quote, and initially it started for me a lot of childhood and adolescent trauma-based fear. I was using in my childhood. That environment brought me into that a lot sooner than a normal, whatever normal is. Kids should be brought into that, to be able to make a decision of their own of what to do. I didn't want to feel anxiety. I didn't want to feel fear. I didn't plan on living to 18. So day-to-day life, what's going to happen next? You self-medicate with Xanax, marijuana, codeine to help numb those nerves so you can just function every day. That became the norm from middle school to high school. So by the time I got into my 20s, I was on an accelerated pace, and he's 28 now. So that, like, you can just imagine hearing that and what he's had to endure. Tony Bridgewater, what's up, Tony? First time, long time.
I never had depression until I stopped listening to these people on the radio this morning. Mark, I know you're going to agree with me because you were on with Dickerson 6 months ago straightening his ass out. You know, I'm tired of the violin playing for this guy. And I'll tell you why. I don't know about his depression. I don't know about any of this stuff. But I will tell you this. He's had money given to him. He's had more chances. The average plumber going to work, you think he gets 7-8 chances and gets millions of dollars thrown at him for a carpenter or someone that loses their job because of this stuff? And to put him in a category, when you're talking about disease, you're really insulting the people that are in Dana-Farber and all that stuff. It's a bunch of nonsense, I'll tell you right now. He's had every opportunity to clean his act up. He's had bodyguards. He's had people don't get this kind of treatment. The best doctors, the best psychiatrists, the best everything, okay? If he wants to induce himself and go down into the barrel, leave the guy alone.
So you don't think that's proof there? You don't think that's proof there that he has a real problem? You just think he wants to be an alcoholic. He doesn't want to be an NFL star. He doesn't want a $100 million contract. He doesn't want any of those things, right?
You're missing the point.
I think you're missing the point.
This guy's been given every opportunity.
He's also been inflicted with a disease, with an issue, with a chemical imbalance, with an anxiety, with mental health.
You know what a disease is?
Yeah.
Go to Dana-Farber and see it. I'm so
right.
tired
So there's only one crap. Disease? There's only one disease?
No.
The only disease on the planet is when a child has cancer? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is...
Cancers that come from outside carcinogens.
Nobody wants
to be an alcoholic either. Name one person who says, you know what I want to do? I want to be an absolute drunk. I want it to ruin my life and take my career and take my money and take my family. How many people say that?
After about the seventh or eighth chance, yes. You go down your own road. You pick your own path. He ain't 15 years old no more.
Okay? No one said he was.
I know a lot of people that grew up in the street.
Okay, right.
And whether they go here or they go there, this guy's been given every opportunity, all sorts of money thrown at him,
right.
All sorts of chances, and we're playing the violin for him.
First of all, we're not playing the violin for him. We're just acknowledging the facts of the situation. We're having general discussions about addiction and the unfortunate nature of addiction that is something that is dealt with by a lot of people in a lot of races, socioeconomic classes, locations, everything.
Hey, Tony.
Every day.
They don't have the opportunities that this guy has had.
No,
they also don't have the stresses.
Tony, I see where you're coming from. We're nobody, and believe me, I don't think anybody's equating what you mentioned, the kids at Dana-Farber Institute.
Which apparently is the only disease.
Right, but
no, it's not the only disease.
Okay, well, that's how you're painting it.
No, you know what? When it became a disease, when some smart lawyer went in front of a judge trying to get these people Social Security and everything, it wasn't a disease 20 years ago. It's a disease now.
So you just believe it's a choice. People choose to be drunks, choose to be addicted to drugs.
I'm not saying that.
Then what are you saying, Tony? Say something that you're willing to stand behind, Tony, for God's sakes.
What are you talking about? After about the 10th chance, it is his fault.
So it's a choice. It's a choice. That's all you're saying. Addiction is a choice.
Addiction is a choice after your 10th time. Yes, it is.
That makes no sense.
All right. We
That makes no sense.
We're talking in circles.
Right.
Yeah, I
and he wouldn't stand by anything. No one's comparing a child with leukemia or a child in Dana-Farber with cancer and saying it's apples to apples, same thing.
No one.
But the body is a complex organism with different diseases,
and everybody's
mental
different.
Health, physical health, some that are you can do nothing about. You're going to have it. You were born with it, right? It's just the reality. Others where maybe you could have had, maybe you did eat too many Twinkies, and now all of a sudden you have type 2 diabetes because you're overweight, right? So you kind of contributed to that potentially. Maybe not completely. Maybe you were predisposed to it. But they're not all the same. We're not trying to paint them as all the same. But I just find it hard to believe that it's just flat out a choice. You choose to be an alcoholic or an addict, or you don't. I'm sorry, that's not true.
Darren in Belmont, final Belmont.
Hi,
what's up, Darren?
Hi, how are you guys today?
Good.
I think Tony's kind of way off base here. I'm happy for Gordon. I think it's not his fault that he's a great athlete who was put in this position, and it probably hurt him in the long run because of this attitude, anxiety. And I don't know what's going on with the guy. None of us do. So how can we ever judge what's happening in his life?
Right.
But all I know, he's in the right organization. I just feel like if Goodell didn't reinstate him, I think he would have gone off the deep end. I think he needs football. I think he needs structure like this. And the Krafts, Belichick, Tom Brady, the whole structure will be perfect for him to really turn his career around and give him a break he needs. And
hope
that's
so.
What ultimately we should all be want. That's
no,
what
we all want that,
everybody.
Darren. We just don't want, you know, because last year during the bye week, which was November 18th, he was able to lose security, and then he was able to sort of, you know, fall off the wagon. And then about a month later, it was announced that, hey, he was, you know, he was gone from the Patriots indefinitely. So we don't want to see all that recur again. And hopefully he is, you know, gotten straight, and then he's overcome. I mean, does anyone overcome it? Like they say, every day is a struggle. Every day is a new chapter. So for Josh Gordon, he has to deal with this every single day. But I think being around structure, being around a foundation of support that I think, God, it's too bad he wasn't drafted by the Patriots, because I'll tell you something, you know, he just, in Cleveland, he wasn't given the right support system there. Here in New England.
Well, let's not paint that picture of perfection in New England. I mean, the Patriots have had their issues in various ways.
Oh, sure.
I mean,
but with
Aaron Hernandez was in the strongest organization in sports, and what happened?
But I'm saying that with Josh Gordon, the Patriots have done everything they can to put him on a path to.
But I think the Browns did too.
Johnny,
if you listen to Mike Lombardi and you listen to some of the things they put in place, and there's another executive that I believe this radio station had on at one point. Joe Banner, maybe? I don't know. There was an executive, and he detailed some of the various things they went through with Josh Brown and successes they had, and the feeling of, hey, this is working. Like, he's buying into this. Whatever, you know, we're giving him this counselor and this, you know, buddy and this whatever, advocate. And then it didn't work. You know what I mean? It's one of those things.
Right. Yeah, that's what happens.
You just never know when it's not going to work.
No.
It's been working for a week. Oh, the eighth day it didn't work.
You're
been working for a month. The 32nd day, it didn't work.
Like, if the one thing I've learned through all this thing is that if you get through today, tomorrow is another whole challenge. You're never completely out of the woods.
I liked that caller that said the only way somebody's more sober today than I am is because they got up earlier than me. Like, it's a day-by-day challenge. You've been sober for that day. That many hours that you've been awake, you've been sober. And to try to string them together is just dangerous.
Yes. Howie in New York is calling. What's up, Howie?
No, I mean, you guys have done a great job on this discussion, and I'd like to bring up a point I don't think anyone's mentioned, and I think the Texas Rangers really had
Are you going to the Josh Hamilton thing?
Yeah. I think that's a great idea to have, because let's face it, Josh Gordon, we all want him to be successful, but let's face it, he's an investment. So why not have someone with him 24 hours a day to give him counseling so he's never alone? It worked with Josh Hamilton.
No, but Howie, here's the thing. He had multiple relapses with the Rangers. He did.
Right. It works.
I don't think he did when he had the person with him 24 hours a day. I think that's when he had his longest stretch of sobriety and success, when he had someone with him constantly.
Yeah, that was part of it. And it was a guy, he actually went from the Reds to the Rangers with him, correct?
Right.
It was like an assistant, low-level coach, whatever. They created a bond. He was his guy, and he went with him, but that's a lot of pressure on that guy too, right? Like, you think about it.
I think that, you know, like, you know, when he, I just think him being alone, bad thoughts can get into his head. I just think it's a girl turn. But can I change the subject for 1 second? I want to add a little levity to the show.
Sure.
I have a great Boston trivia question, and that is, in the last 65 years, what do all four Boston sports teams have in common?
Besides winning a title?
Yes.
Multiple titles?
There's something in common of all four Boston sports teams in the last 65 years.
I just go ahead and
what do you got?
What do you got? What is it?
All right. And that is all four Boston sports teams in the last 65 years won their first championship against a team in St. Louis. The Celtics in 57 against the Hawks, the Bruins in 70 against the Blues,
Rams.
0-1 the Patriots, and 0-4 the Red Sox. So I thought that's a cool fact.
Well, you're saying 65.
In the last 65 years.
Got it.
We're not going all the way back to the old days.
Right, exactly. Fair
enough. So in the last 65 years, in that span.
It's a good one. It's a good one. The trivia stuff is just, can get a little minutia. Johnny in Sturbridge, Sturbridge Village, beautiful area, Johnny. What's up?
Hey, hi guys. Yeah, I've dealt with addiction for a long time, and I've been in a ton of treatments, and I've relapsed a ton of times. And I've come out of my counselor, my doctors, and drank that six pack, and it just took away the edge like you wouldn't believe. It just you know what's wrong, and you take that first beer and the second beer, and your whole body warms up, and you're like, I can breathe.
So what makes you do it, though?
I feel for the kid.
What makes you do it, though? I mean, that's the question everybody asks is, like, why do I do
union,
it, right?
I'm a union roofer for 24 years, so I just know the anxiety, and you'll walk out of your...
Oh, it's the second one of the day. Hey, we were all good.
That word should be okay. Come on.
I know.
We're having a good, honest discussion.
I agree. And by the way, you can say it on network TV now, or at least cable TV.
Cable. I don't think network.
Yeah, cable.
Definitely not before 10, right?
No, not before 10. After 10, you should. Oh God, the show's after 10. You can say the F word on cable TV.
Really?
Oh, every week, Snowfall. Oh yeah. Mike in Portsmouth, you're up next on Mark and Hart. What's up, Mike?
Mike.
This is Rick. Rick.
Rick, how you doing, Rick?
I'm doing great. How about you guys? You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
I want to comment. You know, I love the addition of Josh Gordon. I love how they're going to give him another chance. I really hope he worked with Brady one day or so, a little while back.
Yep.
But it's definitely a sickness. I mean, I'll admit, scratch offs, I just can't stop.
Oh, really? That's right.
It's a waste of money, too.
Yes. And that's what
you brought up scratch offs. You brought up scratch offs with Mike.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what. I really wish I could say I need help. I need to fix it myself is what I need to do.
Right. No, that's a thing that I don't think gets enough attention sometimes. And I was at a baseball field behind a school, and I picked up a piece of garbage and went to go throw it away. And I looked in the garbage can, and there were probably a half dozen nips and literally probably 50 scratch tickets, all the same. So somebody had gone there with some nips and some scratchies and just went at it. And that's not healthy. You're hiding behind a school with this clear addiction.
Right.
And I mean, it
exactly.
just, but you never know which thing. We all give scratch tickets for Christmas. You put it in a stocking.
Right.
Yep.
You could be setting off an addiction that you don't even know.
Right. Yes.
Yep. I mean, I will pray. I will pray for Josh Gordon. I love him. Brady loves him. Obviously, he says the guy never drops a pass. You throw him. He's got hands it's like he's got the automatic stick-em on his hands.
Yeah. Right. Yep. No, listen, from a football player standpoint, we can't say anything.
And I will say, unlike a year ago where I thought the offense had to really change when Josh Gordon left, as I said earlier, if something happens, and you're right, track record would say there's a pretty good chance something could happen. You could lose Josh Gordon at some point. N'Keal Harry is the same type of player in theory, right? He's that bigger outside, strong hands, contested catch. You know, that catch against the Bears where Gordon went up and didn't have a lot of separation, just went up, caught the ball, bounced off the turf for a big play. Brady trusts him. Oh, there's a guy there? Nope, I'm going to trust him. Well, we saw that with Harry last week. Bashed shoulder throw. He's just going to come back, body the guy up, and come down with the ball. In theory, if you get Harry healthy and up to speed, you could maybe just slide him into the Gordon slot. So maybe it's a little less of a transformation.
Edelman, Gordon, and Harry.
Sure, in an ideal world, right. That would be really nice. You know. I'd like to see Gronk, too, by the way.
Well,
Gordon down, Gronk to come. That's what I'm saying. Hey, we're halfway there.
Just let's wait till week 9.
You know where Gronk will be tonight?
The UFC fight?
Nope. He told us last week.
Oh, George Strait.
George Strait, Gillette Stadium, Strait. Right? He said, I'll see you there, George.
Yep. He will be there tonight. Mike and Lowell, you're up next on Mark and Hart. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
you know, we could debate whether addiction is a disease or a choice all day long. People have their views. I drink probably every night, and I know it's a choice. I go to the package store every day by choice. I'm not crybabying about it. I'm not upset about it. It's something I do, and that's it. But to say that Josh Gordon needs to have the structure of football in his life to help him get through this is total BS, because he's had football in his life his entire life.
Correct.
So don't put this thing, it'll do him some good. No, listen, the other guy who was talking about how it's a choice and he was adamant about it, that's his belief. But one thing he said that is true is after the hand has been reached out to you a half a dozen to a dozen times and you keep slapping the hand away, why am I going to offer you my hand anymore? So they're taking a big choice, a big risk if they do decide to bring this guy in. And I don't know which one of you guys said it, but I'm with you. I don't think he's going to make it through the season.
I did. I just don't. If you based on his track record, and I just feel like it's you're setting yourself up for the inevitable, and the inevitable is him just, you know, having a relapse, falling off the wagon, and the Patriots just now. The Patriots, from a football standpoint, they didn't miss him. Then Tom Brady went back to Dorsett. They didn't, you know, they didn't miss him. But it's just, you that's why, for me, if I'm Belichick, go ahead.
You know what they say? They say the only thing you can expect from someone is what they've always done.
Mm-hmm.
You can't expect them to do something that they've never done before. So this guy is a lost cause, and you hope and you pray for him. But hoping and praying for him isn't going to help him, because he's got to, the old saying, why did God give you a wrist? Because at the end of the wrist is the best helping hand you'll ever get. You got to do it for yourself.
Right.
And that's it.
And so far, he's been unable to do it.
Good phone call, Mike. Good phone call. Hey, haven't done this yet in the first 3 hours and 25 minutes, so let's just do one. But this is the prevailing school of thought with a lot of people out there. This is from the text line.
Yep.
Addiction is a choice, not a disease. You choose to do drugs, smoke cigarettes, and so on. That's how a lot of people feel.
Right. I just happen to disagree with it, because I think you choose to do a lot of things in life that you're not sure whether they're going to trigger something. Right?
Right.
I brought up scratch tickets because I think that's something that most people see as just innocent.
Sure.
And we just had a caller who said he's addicted. He knows he's addicted. He can't help it. He wastes money on. I have seen people blow hundreds of thousands of dollars on scratch tickets. Money, real money, because they got into a place where that was just, that's what made them happy. And I don't think people understand sometimes when they don't look at it, as I said earlier, from a personal perspective. Like if a person you respect and you think is a good person goes down a road, it makes you alter the way you think about that issue, whether it's scratch tickets, gambling, domestic violence, right? Ray Rice, there's a guy that most people said is just a great guy, right? A great guy. And we saw him absolutely knock the hell out of his fiance in an elevator. Do you think there's some people that said, oh, my God, if that guy that I've known forever, Ray Rice, can do that, maybe I need to look at domestic violence a little different. Maybe it's something that is, more people are susceptible to whatever.
And that was the thing with the NFL, where we finally had the smoking gun, where we had the video of, listen, this ain't Ray Rice. Wasn't a pioneer in domestic abuse.
Nope.
Warren Moon. Multiple times, I might add. Warren Moon. He just settled out of court with an ex recently. So this has been going on a really long time. But we finally, and the NFL, up until Harvey Levin, and you can say what you want about TMZ and their human parasites and this, that, and the other. Up until Harvey Levin, paying for that video and getting out there, now we have finally a face to domestic abuse. Unfortunately, it ended Ray Rice's career, but now I think with the NFL, he's going around speaking about it.
Yes.
So he's turning, and it's reprehensible. No man should ever put their hands on any woman, especially the mother of their children, their wife, the love of their life.
But do you look at Ray Rice and Greg Hardy as the same?
For what they did to women, yes.
What they did, but who they are as people, are they the same? I don't think they are.
No, I mean, I think Ray Rice has learned from mistakes. I don't think when Greg Hardy did that interview with Adam Schefter and basically took no culpability whatsoever, I said, this freaking a-hole still doesn't get it.
Right. So good people do bad things. Bad people do good things. Bad people do bad things, right?
Like, sure.
It's That's complex.
Right.
And people like to make it, we oversimplify it. Just it's right, it's wrong. You did this. You had a sip of beer at 17. You're an alcoholic. Hey, you shouldn't have had the sip of beer. That is such an ignorant view, in my opinion. Because anyone who pretends that society doesn't put pressures on us and what's allowed and not allowed.
Hey, you know what? You know what I thought? Cool things when growing up playing baseball, what we wanted to do? Chew tobacco.
Right.
We saw Lenny Dykstra do it.
Yep.
Oh, man, nails. Look at nails. Look at
I tried it. I threw up all over myself and never did it again.
Never did it. Me neither.
But what if I just liked it? For all I know now, I'd have no jaw. Maybe I get addicted to it. Because you go through football, everybody's doing it, watching film, spitting, doing it. I could have no jaw now, but I threw up. I got lucky. I didn't
me
get
too.
Addicted to it.
By the way, it's the same thing that happened to me.
But that's luck. We tried it.
Right.
So would that have been our fault? Yeah, I guess. We tried it, but it's cool. I mean, Society says it's cool.
Did you ever try smoking? I tried smoking cigarettes a couple times, and it sucked.
Right. I haven't, but I could have, and I could have got addicted, and I could have lung cancer. I could be dead.
Right. It sucks. But you don't know then what the ultimate long-term. Josh Gordon, and that's the one part that I now sympathize with him that I didn't understand before. He didn't know back when he was in middle school, we're talking 7th and 8th grade, that this would turn on to be a lifelong addiction. He didn't know that?
Well, he was in a darker place already, sure. If you believe him, when he says he didn't expect to live past 18, so really, who gives a rat's ass what I do? I'm not planning on being around for the long haul, so if I go down a bad road, I go down a bad road. That was his mentality back then.
All right, we'll come back with more of your phone calls. Now it's time for trending.
Now back to James and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Six, 617-779-7937. Mark and Hart, I don't want to be talking over the great Nas, the greatest lyricist in rap history, in my opinion. 617-779-7937. A lot of people still want to chime in. Jay, New Hampshire, has been patient. Thanks for holding in, Jay. What's up? Go ahead, Jay.
Jay.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep, there yes. We go. Perfectly.
I know that happens all the time, too. I was paying attention, I promise. Anyway, so I've been listening to you guys off and on for a couple hours here, and everybody's chiming in on this whole, it's a disease, it's not a disease, it's a choice, all that other stuff. But being somebody who's been involved with we call it the program, for myself about 7 years now, I've worked with a lot of what we call newcomers and things like that, and I started studying on how and why this is affecting so many people the way it is, because it is an epidemic at this point. And the brain actually makes chemical changes when you're introducing something to it constantly over and over and over again. So for some people, it might be instant. They might like the feeling right away, and it's just something they go for a while, and then all of a sudden it becomes more of a problem than what they originally thought it was going to be. Other people are hooked from the start. But no matter what, over time, the chemical changes in the brain are what make it really hard to stop once you start. It doesn't happen to everybody, but, you know, 50% of the people out there, that's what they're going through.
You know, Jay, that's one of the reasons that I not stop. And I'm like, I just watching it on TV and being it glorified on shows and whatnot. I'm like, no. That is no, that would not be good. So I stayed away from that because, like you said, it takes control of you. And before you know it, you're desolate. You're financially bankrupt, morally bankrupt. And, you know, you're on skid row practically.
Yeah, absolutely. And like somebody was saying earlier, you know, it's their choice to do it the first time or whatever. But we don't all, most people, like you talked about before, you said 99.9% of people have drank between the ages of 13 and 23. And not everybody drinks that first time and is addicted right away. Like, right. For instance, myself, I'm a recovered alcoholic, but when I first started out, it was fun. I was hanging out with my friends and things like that, and I drink once a week or whatever. But then I started to figure out that when bad times would happen, I could drink to numb it. Then after a couple of years of doing that, I would be shaking unless I drank because my body was completely addicted to it. Wow. Now, if you want to classify that, if you want to classify that as a disease or not, that's up to you. But my body needed it or I couldn't even function. So,
wow, that's crazy. Jay, thanks for the story there. That's when you hear that, man, that's powerful. Yeah. Oof. And your body's shaking and there's nothing that you feel like you can't survive without it. That's, man, that's when it overcomes you. Bob is next in Arlington. What's up, Bob?
How are you doing today, guys?
Good, Bob. Good.
I've been in recovery for 7 years, strictly from alcoholism. I had never touched any other substances. But it amazes me. You guys are all smart guys. How do you, you have a better grasp on what people, or what the truth is in the subject. People are so ignorant about the subject matter of alcoholism that it's comical. If someone needs to understand what it does to people and how it destroys families, on and on and on. There's millions of people across America. Alcoholics Anonymous is the biggest and the most productive way to eradicate the disease one day at a time. You know, you have today. That's all you ever have. And for Josh, you know, I hear Tony from Bridgewater. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter. It doesn't discriminate. It takes anybody down and once it gets, you know, their hands on you. And it's genetic. It's proven it's a disease. It's not a question. The American Medical Association has determined that it's a disease. How so many smart people know absolutely nothing about it, and then they find out about it when their children become chronically ill with alcoholism or some type of drug addiction. Then they wake up. And then they really wake up when they lose one of their children and they say, oh, do you think he made a bad choice or was he sick? Josh Gordon is sick. Now, whether he can recover or not, you can't babysit him.
Right.
He needs to do what he needs to do. He needs to get to meetings. He needs to do the things. You can't have someone hold their hand. If they're not ready, they're not ready. It's unfortunate. And my life has been great. I never had issues with finances or any of that crap. You don't have to live under on the gutter to be an alcoholic. There's lots of people that are raving alcoholics who just don't know it.
Good stuff, Bob. Wow. It's certainly, I guess when it hits close to home is what he's saying, is that more or less, yeah, then you realize how much of it is a disease. And I learned that as well. I at first thought, you know, like the initial choice, but then once it overcomes you, it's nothing that you can do about it. Like I was like, you know, like a lot of other people, like, wait a second. And, you know, and that's the thing. And then who was the guy who called in and was comparing it? Dana Farber. Like nobody's, right.
Nobody's doing that. Nobody's, but I also will say I'm a hypocrite in this area too. And part of my hypocrisy is that I think the social acceptance of alcohol makes it harder for people to just have that view of, well, don't have a drink. Don't ever have a drink. Well, that's not really the world we live in. You're bombarded by ads and parties and booze cruises. And, you know, alcohol is such a massive part of this world that we live in. And it has been for centuries, going back forever. Whereas, you know, I look at something like heroin. Well, you know, the first time you shoot up, you're doing something that is outside the realm of accepted society, correct?
Sure.
Like, I mean, yeah, you may be in a small little social world where others are doing it, but there's a reason people like pull down alleys and side streets and do it real quick in the cut. You know, it's not accepted. There's no bar you go to where all your friends are going to stop and shoot up before the weekend starts. So there's different levels here. And for me, the person who shoots up with heroin, that's where I have that problem and say, well, you chose to do that at some point and you knew it was really bad. You knew there was a really good chance that that would end badly, but you went in that direction, right? So marijuana is now coming into the realm of more like alcohol, right? It's socially accepted. It's legal in a lot of states, whereas there used to be, you know, that idea that marijuana was just bad. It was the worst thing for you. You were going to be a pothead. You'd never amount to anything in life if you smoked marijuana. Now I think we realize there's a lot of people that I know that run banks and teams and hospitals that are smoking marijuana at home, right?
Absolutely.
So the social ramifications or the social acceptance of these things can change even.
It does. Everything changes. Yeah. No.
But I'm sorry. When you take a drink, you didn't make a decision that you knew was going to ruin your life. Whereas when you shoot up with heroin, I'm sorry. I feel like you made a decision you knew could end really poorly. The new one that's in that gray area are opioids, pills. Oh, you had back surgery and you needed this,
well, how about
supposedly.
OxyContin? I mean,
those types of things.
People are robbing pharmacies
for
these
pills.
You
got it from a doctor the first time.
Right.
And then you started a lifestyle living off of it for whatever period of time for your pain, your surgery, your issue. Then you couldn't get off. Now you're addicted. And now it's ruining your life.
I mentioned before Brett Favre was addicted to painkillers. And then I believe there were doctors that, oh, it's Brett Favre. I'm going to write him whatever he wants.
Right.
Yeah. Endless refills. There you go. Go ahead.
So, you know, this whole issue of addiction, we sort of use it as a general umbrella. There's a lot of layers and details to it, whether it's alcohol, drugs, prescription drugs. Oh, which drug? Oh, is it gambling? Is it, you know, there's a lot of different areas where we delve into here, and we don't know what causes them. We don't know anything about Josh Gordon. We think we do. We can talk about it. And by the way, what we're doing right now, in my opinion, is part of Josh Gordon's problem. We're talking about it. No offense to you. How did you start this show?
Josh Gordon.
And what did you say? You can't trust him. You won't rely on him. If you made a decision, you'd say he won't be able to make it through without a relapse.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming you, but we don't know Josh Gordon's driving in his car right now and heard that. How does he react to that? Whereas the carpenter or the mechanic who has this issue, there's a good chance he doesn't have some jerk, and I'm not calling you a jerk, but some guy on the radio.
I am a jerk. I am a jerk.
But he doesn't have that pressure. There's other pressures. It's very.
Right.
But he's not going to turn on the radio and somebody is discussing the likelihood of him relapsing and ruining his life again.
Well, I think the thing is when the caller just called in and goes, you can never count on someone to do something they've never, ever done before. And I'm just looking at Josh Gordon from not like a micro, from a macro, is that this is, and he's admitted it in this article in GQ, this is something that's been plaguing him for the last 20 years. So this is something that, like, the odds are way against him. The odds are against him. It is what it is. I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't trust him to stay clean and stay healthy. I hope I'm wrong. All right. Everybody wants to chime in. We got one segment left, so let's make it rapid fire. We'll get to all your phone calls. We'll see
the
you
old
there.
Michael Holly lightning round. He used to do that. Boom, last 15 minutes of show. We're going to empty the lines. You get like 15 seconds. Get your point out and get out.
There we go. That will do that next. Mark and Hart.
This is James and Hart on WEEI.
All right, final segment next. Right to the calls. Rapid fire. 617-779-7937. Susan in New Jersey. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I think instead of talking negatively about Josh Gordon like you just said, he'd be in his car. Why don't people send him notes of support and let him know that we're supporting him and looking to pave his way and show him the love that we can have for him as a member of our team and that we're here to help him. We can't personally go to him, but the fact that there is a diagnosis from the American Medical Association, that there is AA, like that other caller was talking about, it's a disease. It's hard. And I've been teaching for 40 years. I've seen it all 40 years with parents, with students, with kids that are involved in football, and the coaching and the support staff, that's what helps get you through it.
Very good, Susan.
And he gets that.
He does get
that. On social media, if you go on social media, it is far more positive
than
negative.
No doubt. Rob in Waltham.
Hey, guys. I'm going to make it quick. So I lived through addiction. I've been in recovery. I've worked in the field of recovery. The best way I've had this explained to me as to why it's a disease, a person whose brain has the disease of addiction, it will tell them, maybe this is a good idea to try this one time. What can it hurt? It's only going to be one time. As to where a normal person or a person without the disease, when it comes to drugs like heroin, cocaine, they say, this is a terrible idea. Why would I do that? This is awful. A person who has a diseased brain can't make that distinction. Their brain likes to fool them, tell them it's going to be okay. It's only going to be once or twice.
Right. We got that. Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of the old JFK. You ask why, I ask why not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Different spin on it, but.
Yep. Matt in the car. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, fellas. This is what you've been talking about all week with the You know, is the juice worth the squeeze? Josh Gordon probably wouldn't get this many chances if he wasn't Josh Gordon.
Correct.
Kaepernick would probably have a job if he was Tom Brady.
Yep.
Or Aaron Rodgers. But what I want to point out was you're talking about, you know, the difference between alcohol, heroin, whatever it might be. I mean, you're going to get a lot of these calls. I'm in recovery. I have been for a long time. I think this epidemic is pretty crazy. But I luckily never got to heroin. But I started because I broke my wrist. I had an injury. I was prescribed something. Before I knew it, I was addicted to that. What happens is people can't afford that anymore. Then they go to the heroin. It usually doesn't start with, oh, I just want to go do heroin. That's not the normalcy of the majority of these cases. Is it some of them? Yeah, absolutely. But the disease that people talk about, the addiction disease, isn't the actual doing it. It's the cause for why you do it. You're miserable. You hate your life. You think you don't want to feel. You do it so you don't feel. The disease is already there before you touch a drug. That's what the disease is about. I think a lot of people are missing that. They think the disease is continuing to do it.
Right. No, I understand that, and I understood as I mentioned it. I knew that I had some hypocrisy in my idea of the guy can drink, the guy can do a scratch ticket. Why does he choose to do heroin? That's a dumb decision. And I understand a lot of people don't go right to heroin. You don't go from zero to heroin.
No.
There are some stops along the way.
Joe in a car.
Well, actually, you just kind of stole my thunder, Andy, because I was going to harp right on that very fact. I mean, it's really like a situation where when you're drinking and you're at a party and you have a friend and you're already in the influence of something and they offer you, say, a little bit of coke, or maybe even not even that much. Maybe it's just so much as like a pill, something that will help you relax. The fact that you're already under the influence of another substance makes it easier to make that next decision. That's why a lot of the time people use to call marijuana a gateway drug.
Right.
Because it just makes you more susceptible to making a poor choice. And that's where the whole disease of addiction really comes into. It's not a drug problem. It's actually a thinking problem. The thought process is wrong for addicts.
Right. And I would argue that it's also decision problems, right? There are a lot of people that would never get in a car intoxicated. They would never make the decision to get in a car while intoxicated when they're sober. But when they're intoxicated, they make that decision. Or another bad decision with a person of the opposite sex and something they may do when they're drunk that they would never do when they're sober. So there's a level of just obvious decision making.
I mean, it's completely alters your mindset. Jim and Lowell, last call of the day. What's up, Jim?
Afternoon, boys. All right. You know, I come from an area that has a terrible substance abuse problem, and I don't know the extent of Josh Gordon's problem, but I'll tell you, I took a couple of people and friends of mine to substance abuse programs with opioid addiction, hardcore drugs. It was not a happy ending to the story. One of them had to be revived on Narcan. I'm not friends with him anymore. But on the other hand, my other half, she had a problem with alcohol and painkiller stuff, but legal stuff. She went to a facility in Jamaica playing. She beat it for many, many years now. She has been able to beat that problem. So if his is opioid addiction, I had a friend that worked for the Department of Children and Family that told me people would rather give up their children. And hopefully you can.
All right, Jim, appreciate the compliment. Andy, good stuff.
Thank you.
4-hour fun ride. Patriots tonight, 7:30. What are you back on Monday?
I'm on Monday, 10 to 2 from Gillette.
Cool.
Monday.
I'll be on Monday night, 6 to 10, in for Mutt. So have a great weekend. Let's see if the Patriots, I want to see Brady actually get on the field tonight. Hopefully that happens. Stay tuned next. Rob Bradford is live from Fenway Park, and he will have Rick Porcello with him live from Fenway Park, and he will be with you up until Red Sox pregame at 6 with Will Fleming. Thanks to Joe Cortez, Nick, the man, LePan, all of you people who called, listened, texted, whatever, and have a great day.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.